Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Samach Daled. Today we are beginning Bezal Hashem, the ninth parak of Maseches Nedarim. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. And now there's one more child, Mazel Tov, on the birth of a baby boy to Dr. David Lander, and also the Zecher Nishmas's mother, Golda Bas Simcha Aleha Shalom. Also sponsored by Yael and Yosef Gurvich in appreciation of the children's Rebbeim and Morot, and also by Avi and Esti Goldstein and family, Lezecher Nishmas, their beloved son, Zachary Goldstein, my beloved Talmud, Chaim Tzvi Ben Avraham. His fourth yard site is today. His neshama shav and aliyah from the zchus of all of his learning and all the mitzvos and ma'asim tovim that his family and friends continue to do in his memory. So we are holding at the beginning of the ninth parak of the Masechta. The Mishnah is going to talk about the idea of being poseach in a neder, to finding a pesach in a neder in order to undo the neder. So we're going to talk about being poseach with kvod of the vi'imo. Had you known that would have been such a bizayon to your parents that you would take a neder, would you have ever taken such a neder? So is that a valid Pesach to a neder? We're also going to talk in the Mishnah about being Poseach Benolad, something that wasn't yet there at the time of the neder. So can we say, had you known that, if it's something that didn't exist yet at the time of the neder, something that only developed later on? And then the Gemara is going to have two opinions. The Mishnah has this line of Imkein Ein Nedarim, that if you take things to a certain extent, then Ein Nedarim. So what exactly does that line mean? Im kein, ein nedarim. So we're going to have two shitos, Abaye and Rava, and the Gemara is going to explain how each shita fits into our Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that releasing Moshe Rabbeinu of the neder to remain with Yisro isn't considered nolad. That apparently he was released of the neder, that the people who want you dead are now themselves dead, and therefore you're released of this neder. Why isn't that nolad? At the time that Moshe Rabbeinu took the neder, they were not dead. So why isn't that an example of being Poseach Menolad? And that's going to lead us into a discussion about all of those who, even while they are alive, are Chashuvim Kemesim, are considered to be Mesim. So, Bez Hashem, that is the last topic on today's daf. So let's begin. So just as an introduction to the Mishnah and to this parak, really, the Torah tells us that there is an Isra of Lo Yachel Dvaro. A person takes a neder, he can't make his Dvarim into Chulin, he can't go against that which he said. And we darshin that that while he's not able to take his neder and undo it and turn it into chulin, other people can make that happen to him, can take his neder and make it no longer binding. So if a person has charata on his neder and he finds a pesach for the neder, meaning some topic, some idea that he wasn't thinking of at the time of the neder, and had he known about it, he would not have taken that neder. So then, as long as he finds such a pesach, he can go to a chacham, or he can go to Shlosha Hadyotos in a place where there is no Chacham, and they could be Matir the Neder for him, and then whatever he asked on himself becomes Mutter. But if he doesn't have a Pesach, so then the Chacham or the Beis Din starts to discuss and look for a Pesach. They discuss and they ask him all sorts of questions. Had you known this at the time of the Neder? Once they get him to say, oh, had I known that, I would not have taken the Neder, then they could be Matir the Neder. If they don't find the Pesach, then he has to be Mekayim the Neder. Then there's nothing that they could do. Now, why is it that a Pesach works? Because through a Pesach, we see that it's Ki'ilu the Neder was a Neder Patous. Because he's being Moda that he would not have taken the Neder Meikara had he known about this this event or this reality. And therefore, it's Ki'ilu, it's a Neder Patous. So in this Perek, we're going to discuss what exactly qualifies as a Pesach, what we can use as a Pesach to release a person of his Neder. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Reb Lezer says, a person who tries to undo his neder and he doesn't have an obvious Pesach, there is nothing in particular that had he known about, he would not have taken his neder. So poskel adam kvod av v'imo. One simple one we could go to is the Chacham or the Beis Din can say that we have a Pesach for your neder because of kvod av v'imo. We ask him, if
if he would have still taken the neder, if he would have thought about the fact at the time of the neder that someone who's parutz benedarim is called a rasha, and when a person is called a rasha, it's a big bizayon to his parents. And if he responds that had he realized that at that time, he never would have taken the neder. Good mutalach, we could be matir the neder. Had he just realized that it would have been such a bizayon to his parents, why is it such a bizayon to his parents if he's the one that's the rasha? So the Ran explains that even a rasha ben tzaddik is often referred to as a rasha ben rasha. The Gemara Masech Sanhedrin on the pasuk Bas Kohen Kisech Liznos Savia Himachalelas says that if there were no covered by Avia up until that point, and then the daughter of this Kohen went and was Mizana, there'll now be no bizayon. They'll say Arushazu Yolad. They'll say it must be something was wrong in the upbringing, that something was wrong in the house. Arushazu Gidal, Arushayatzalom Michalotzav. And Ravashi says that it's the minig of Bnei Adam that they call even a Rasha ben Tzaddik a Rasha ben Rasha. It may be unfair to do that, and very often people have their own Bechira Chavshis and they decide to become Rashaim on their own, and it has absolutely nothing to do with their parents, but nevertheless, people refer to it that way. And if people decide to be Zion, if people think of it that way, that's going to be a Zion to the parents. So we tell the person, had you known that you were going to be Mevazi your parents so much by taking the Dharam, would you have taken the Nether? And he says, I had no intention of being Mevazi my parents, I would not have done that. So then Rabbi Eliezer says, we're Matir the Nether, the Chachamim Osrin. And the Chachamim say, no, we cannot be Poseach Bekvod of the Imo. It's a little bit of a funny Lashon that we say, V'chachamim Osrin. It should have said, V'chachamim Ein Poschin. So the Mukhe Yosef writes, from the Lashon of Osrin and not Ein Poschin, it sounds like even B'dieved, it's not considered a Pesach. That if they mistakenly released him of the Neder based on the Pesach of Kvod Aviv Imo, it doesn't even count as a Pesach B'dieved. It doesn't even work, even if we've already done it. Why? Because we're Choshesh that maybe he took the Neder realizing the bizayon it would have caused to his parents. He did think of it. But now a Beis Din or a Chacham is asking him point blank, would you have done this to cause such aggravation to your parents? So he's gonna be embarrassed to say, yeah, I don't care about aggravating my parents. I live my whole life aggravating my parents. So he's not going to want to say such a thing. He's going to be embarrassed to and therefore he's going to lie. And he's going to say that, no, I never would have, even though he really would have. And that's why the Chacham say, no, we cannot be Poseach B'Kvod Aviv Imo. It's not a real charata. That is at least the way Abaye explains the machlokas. We're going to see in the Gemara Abaye and Rava. So it sounds like the Ran over here explains the Mishnah according to Shitas Abaye, and that's how the Bartanura explains the Mishnah as well. Toz Yamtov points out, it's already mentioned earlier poskim, that normally when you have machlokas Abaye and Rava, the halacha is kerava, except for the Yal Kigam. And this is not one of the Yal Kigam. This is not one of the six exceptions where we pass like Abaye. So why is everyone explaining the Mishnah Lefi Shitas Abaye? So Toz Yamtov says that there's the Yesod. Beis Yosef says the same Yesod, that the rule that the halacha is like Rava against Abaye, except for the Al Kigam, is when it's a matter of halacha. This is a matter of explanation of a Mishnah. It's not a matter of halacha. It's just how do we understand this machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham, whether you could be poseach b'kvod of the imo. So it's perfectly fine to say that Abaye is the more reasonable explanation of the Mishnah, since at the end of the day it doesn't happen nafkamina la halacha at all. So I'm Rabbi Tzadok. So where Rabbi Tzadok explains Rabbi Eliezer, and he says, "Ad sheposkan l'b'kvod av v'imo." Just like Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can be poseach for a noder with kvod av v'imo, so according to him, poskan l'b'kvod amakom, you should also be able to be poseach b'kvod amakom with the covenant of the Ribbono Shel Olam. They ask him if he was at the time that he took the neder, he would have realized that he's being makel in the covenant of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Would you have taken the neder? And he says, "No, I didn't realize it was such an affront to the covenant of the Ribbono Shel Olam." That's a good enough reason to be matir the neder. That's how the Ran explains this line of the Mishnah. The Rabbi Tzadok is adding that according to Rabbi Lezer, not only can you be poseach b'kvod av v'imo, you can also be poseach Bikvona makom. However, the Rush and Tosos say they have a different girsa that yiftuchu, that Rabbi Tzadok is bringing a raya to the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer, and he says there's no way you could be posech bikvona vimo, because if you're going to be posech bikvona vimo, then you'd have to be posech bikvona makom, and that's ridiculous. You can't say every nether is going to be like that. You can't possibly be posech bikvona makom. And why would we distinguish between kvona vimo and kvona makom in this this context? This lends credence to the discussion that that kvona vimo is kvona makom, right? There's a suffix in Minchas Chinuch mitzvah lamed gimel whether kibud avim is a mitzvah beilam lechavero or it's a mitzvah beilam lemakom. Now the tzad that it's a mitzvah beilam lechavero is very self understood. It is another human being that you're interacting with, so it's for sure a mitzvah beilam lechavero. But the tzad that it's a mitzvah beilam lemakom is a little bit more difficult to understand. So you have all these mamari chazal, the gemaras in kiddushin, that a person is mechabed avimos ki ilu is being mechabed the ribono shalom kushlo shoshut v'niyesh v'adam, and all of that. It's on that. It's on the right side of the aser sedibros. All of those indicators that it relates to. That it relates to kvod ha-makom. But certainly here Rabbi Tzadik is saying that there's no daylight between them, that if it's if you're going to be posech with one, then you're going to be posech with the other. That's the way the Rush and the Tosfos understand. It's also interesting we use the term ha-makom, meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam has many different ways that we can refer to, that we can refer to him. Ribbono Shel Olam is one of them. We can refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in another one. We can refer to Hashem in so many different ways. So what exactly is the connotation of ha-makom? So the Pashup Shad is that hamakom is that hu mekomo shel olam ve'eino olam mekomo. That it's not that the world contains HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu contains the whole world within him. So it's not that he is in this world, it's the world is within HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the name HaMakom implies. Rabbi Lazar Min Ahar says that the Shem HaMakom is Begematria 186. No, it's not. So he says, yeah, it works out. I'm sorry, it is Begematria 186 because Makom is, the Kuf is 100, two mems is 80, and the vav is 6. That's a gematria 186. 186. He says, yeah, it's a gematria 186, and that is the same as yudke vavke. Yudke vavke is 26. He says, yeah, but there's a type of gematria where you square each number. So he says, yud is 10 squared is 100, hey is 5 squared is 25, so up to 125, and then there's another hey at the end, so 150, and then vav squared is 36, so that's 186. So Hamakom is also associated with the shame Yudke Vavke. That's Rav Ramin Ahar. The Nesivus in his Haggadah on the passage of Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu Baruch Shnas and Torah Lama Yisrael Baruch Hu. The Nesivus says that Hamakom is the has a connotation of an appreciation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu through nature. That a person is able to look at the world and see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like Avram Avinu discovered a Kadosh Baruch Hu by looking at the world and realizing that this world could not have come into existence on its own, that there must be a creator who created everything. And that's why the makom relates, Baruch HaMakom relates to the Chacham, that the Chacham is someone who has his eyes open and he looks at the world and he's able to appreciate the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's part of the first explanation, that Ein Olam Mekomo Elo Hu Mekomo Shel Olam, that the whole world is contained within our Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you see Hashem in the Bria itself. But anyway, so the point over here is that we have a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim whether we're posech bekvod of vi'imo, and Rabbi Tzadok either elaborates on Rabbi Eliezer or proves against Rabbi Eliezer by saying that if you're going to be posech bekvod of vi'imo, then you should also be posech bekvod ha-makom. So now there's a question in the girsa, either amru lo, right? That's the girsa that the Ran has and Tosfos and the Rosh quote as well, that the Chacham say back to Rabbi Tzadok that you're going to hold that you could be posech b'kvod ha-makom, meaning if that's in fact what Rabbi Tzadok was saying, that he was elaborating on Rabbi Eliezer, and he was saying that just like Rabbi Eliezer says, you can be posech b'kvod ha-vimo, you can also be posech b'kvod ha-makom, so the Chacham say back to that, im kein ein nedarim, if you're going to be posech b'kvod ha-makom, then ein nedarim, meaning you're never going to be able to be matir and neder properly, because no one is ever going to be modeh that had he realized that it would be mimait kvod hamakom, he still would have taken the neder. So certainly, even if he still would have taken the neder, he's going to lie and he's going to tell the Beis Din, oh no, I never would have taken a neder against the cover of the Ribbono Shalom. So even Rabbi Eliezer has to be moda that we cannot be poseach bikvod hamakom. That's what the Chachamim are saying back to Rabbi Tzadok. Don't tell me that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could be, just like you could be poseach bikvod avimo, you could also be poseach bikvod hamakom. Rabbi Eliezer may hold that you'll be honest about whether you would have taken the neder had you realized it would cause bizyonos to your parents, but no one's going to be honest that they would have taken the neder even if they would realize it's going to cause bizyonos to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And since no one's going to be honest about that, we can't possibly use that as a pesach. So even though by stam neder the chum hold we cannot be posech b'kvod avimo, there is one case that they are moda. Moda chum the Rabbi Lezer b'davar shebeino lebein of avimo. If the neder itself was a matter that was between the parents, the child and the parents, like he asked his parents from getting hana from him, that was the content of his neder, then even the chum moda sheposech b'kvod avimo. That since we see that he clearly doesn't think of their kavod in such a he already had such chutzpah to ask for them to get any anav from him, so we're not choshish he's going to lie to Beis Din and say that he wouldn't have taken the neder had he realized it would be memayit bekvodam through that neder. Why would he lie about that? We see that he's already such a mechutzav. He was a mechutzav enough to take it. It'll be a mechutzav enough to tell the Beis Din that, yeah, I knew that it would cause them aggravation, and I did it anyway. I knew it would cause them bizyonos, and I did it anyway. We don't think that such a person would hesitate to say such a thing to the Beis Din. Even the Chachamim would be moda. The Ran and the Rishonim Kori Yerushalmi, that Rabbi Eliezer is moda, meaning on the flip side, that Rabbi Eliezer is moda, that after Misas of Vi'imo, we can't be Poseach B'Kvod of Vi'imo. Meaning we have this Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham. Can you be Poseach B'Kvod of Vi'imo? Rabbi Eliezer says yes, the Chacham say no. The Mishnah tells us, but there's one case where even the Chachamim are going to agree to Rabbi Eliezer, and that is if the Neder itself was about of Vi'imo. Now the Yerushalmi tells us there's one case that Rabbi Eliezer will be moda to the Chachamim, and that you can't be posech b'kvod avimo because no one would acknowledge being mevazeh's parents, wanting to be mevazeh's parents, and that is if the parents are already dead. And the reason for that is that after parents pass away, so people to view the covenant of their parents with much more seriousness. They take it much more seriously. It's one of the sad facts of life that people, when the parents are alive, they're mevazeh their parents and they don't talk to them for years, and they go through all these sorts of things. And then when the parent is dead, then all of a sudden they have this great kibbut av'eim. The Ran quotes in the name of Yerushalmi that kvod rabbo also, for a kavod of a Rebbe, also l'kulei alma ein poskin, because mora rabcha kemora shemayim. That people have that sense of mora rabbo kemora shemayim, so we cannot be poseach. So this Yerushalmi seems to be a raya to the shita of the Prisha in Yerodea Simon Reish Mem Beis. The Prisha in Yerodea writes that a hekish that we have between kvod of v'imo and kvod makom is not a perfect hekish. It's not shavah legamri. We don't say that all of the dinim of one apply to the other. Because a lot of times when you have a hekish, it's not like 100%. As opposed to mor rabcha kamor shamayim, which we darshan from es hashem elokecha tira, l'rabo es rabo, right, es hashem elokecha tira, the es is to be marbid the Rebbe as well. That's two things in one pasuk to tell us that they're shavah legamri, meaning it's not just a hekish, it's incorporated within the same pasuk. So when it's incorporated within the same pasuk, says the Prisha, then you know that it's shavah legamri. So the Taz disagrees, and he says, anything that's hukash l'chavero, there's no daylight between them, there's no chilik whatsoever between them when you have a hekish. So the Yerushalmi that we just quoted is a raya to the sheet of the Prisha, because Rabbi Lazar holds that we're poskin b'kvod av v'imo, but he's moda b'kvod rabo, we're ain't poskin, that you're not going to be poseach b'kvod rabo. So why is it that we're poseach b'kvod av v'imo and not poseach b'kvod rabo? Because the idea that kavod av v'imo is equated to kvod shemayim, that's only a hekish, and a hekish doesn't have to be shavah legamri. But the idea that kvod rabo is like kvod shemayim, that's more than a hekish, that's within a single pasuk, and that has to be shavah legamri. So that Yerushalmi seems to be a raya. Now the very idea that people treat kvod av v'imo with a greater degree of severity after the parents die is l'chora counter halachic, meaning there is a din. The Mishnah, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin says mechavdim b'chayiv u'mechavdim l'achramosam, that a person has to be mechabed his parents while they're alive, and there's still a din of kibud aveim l'achramisa, but the din doesn't become more chamur l'achramisa. To the contrary, b'chayiv ketzad, the Gemara goes through how are you mechabed parents while they're alive, and gives a whole list of all these things you have to do. And l'achar misa, what do? You say hareni kaparas mishkavo. You say zichrona levracha. You speak in reverential terms. But that's it. There's not. There doesn't seem to be all that much that you do. That's what Rav Shachter pointed out. That l'chora, the whole tumult of whether mitzvahs kibud aveim, mitzvahs b'ran l'chaveru, b'ran l'mamakom. Well, one thing is for sure: mitzvahs b'ran l'chaveru don't apply to dead people. So pashtus is that kibud aveim is both the mitzvah b'ran l'chaveru and the mitzvah b'ran l'mamakom. But there is no mitzvah b'ran l'chaveru to dead people. So the nature of the mitzvah changes. It drops the b'ran l'chaveru element when the parent dies. And all it is a mitzvah b'ran l'makom. It's no longer a mitzvah b'ran l'chaveru at all. That's what Rav Shachter pointed out, that perhaps explains Shittas Rambam, that if you hold that there's a mitzvah to be mechabed aviv rasha, which it sounds like the Rambam holds that there is, it's machlokes rishonim. If you hold that there is a mitzvah to be mechabed aviv rasha, why? How is that a kavana makom? Elamai, that part, the idea of being mechabed aviv rasha, is only a mitzvah b'ran l'chaveru, not a mitzvah b'ran l'makom. Because how is that a cover to the makom when you're being mechabed a rasha, when you're being mechabed someone who doesn't themselves respect the ribono shel olam? So it would turn out that when being mechabed aviv rasha is only a kiyum b'ran l'chaveru. Being mechabed aviv hameis is only a kiyum b'ran l'makom. It would therefore turn out that being mechabed Russia, aviv Russia, who is dead, is not a mitzvah at all. There's no bein al mechaveru, nor any bein al makom. That's what the Gemara seems to indicate in Sex by Mitzvah, where it talks about if the father stole something, whether the children out of kavod makom have an obligation to return it. So at one point the Gemara says, why should they have to return it? He's not also maisa amcha. It's all, they would only, their own, only obligation to return would be based on kibud aveim. They don't have a mitzvah of kibud aveim. He doesn't behave properly. So everyone asks, so what are you talking about? But he still has to be mechabed of Russia. No, but that's talking about after the father died. And that's why the Gemara assumes that there's no mitzvah of kibud aveim for a Russia who is already dead. That's as far as the mitzvah of kibud aveim. Could it also happen nafkamina? If you hold that to be true la halacha, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that the idea of avelus yud beis chodesh is a mitzvah in kibud aveim. That the reason you only have yud beis chodesh for parents and you have yud beis chodesh for other relatives is not necessarily a reflection of greater grief when it comes to the death of parents as opposed to other relatives. You know, Rachman al-Slan, someone loses a child, that's a much greater grief that they suffer than losing a parent. So it's not about the greater grief that you have, but it's a din of kibud aveim when one loses a parent. So if you hold that aviv rasha, there's no din of kibud aveim, l'chora you would hold that there's no din of yud beis chodesh when it comes to kibud aveim. Now the idea that there is no benal mechavero on dead people, I think Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has an Emes Liakov. He discusses why it is that the Chumash is allowed to tell us all these terrible things about the Achei Yosef, about the Shvatim. They sold Yosef, they did all these terrible averes. How is the Chumash allowed to tell us? It's Lashon Hara. How can the Chumash speak Lashon Hara about so many people? Tells us all sorts of people did averes. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, because Lashon Hara has been on the Chavero, and these people are all dead, and once a person is no longer alive, there is no Isra of Lashon Hara. It's quite a Chiddush that there's no Isra of Lashon Hara for someone who's no longer alive. It's a question, right? There's a question whether there's an Isra of Lashon Hara about oneself, right? That's the famous Maisa of the Chavetz Chaim, that he was on the train, and he spoke Lashon Hara about himself, and the guy smacked him because he didn't realize it was Chavetz Chaim, and then the Chavetz Chaim said, no, I deserved it because I never realized that there's an Isra of Lashon Hara about oneself, but there is. So I heard from two great Rabbanim that story can't possibly be true for opposite reasons. Rav Shachter said the story can't possibly be true because how could the Chafetz Chaim not have realized that you're not allowed to speak ill of yourself? Pasuk says, V'yisim nikiyim, Hashem v'Yisrael, that a person is supposed to remain above reproach. He should not be subject to, you're not the bailam on your own reputation. You have to, so of course the Chafetz Chaim realized that. I heard from Rav Reisman, he said, that story is obviously not true because there's no such din that you're not allowed to, the exact opposite, there's no such din that you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about yourself. Why can't you speak Lashon Hara about yourself? Ben Chaveru doesn't apply to something about yourself. Okay, so everyone agrees the story is not true, but they disagree as to why the story is not true. But anyway, Back to our Mishnah, Va'odam Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says a different din that poskin benolad, that a chacham or a beis din can find a pesach to the neder with something that didn't yet happen. The chacham Moshe and the chacham say no, we cannot be poseach benolad because it has to be something that was already there at the time of the neder, and it's just that the person taking the neder didn't think of, about it. And he could say, had I focused on that, then I never would have taken the neder, and there that's what makes it a neder b'taus. But by something that's nolad, that didn't exist yet, you can't say that if he would have known, then he would not have taken the neder, because it never would have even occurred to him. It didn't even exist yet. So of course at the time of the neder, he was all in. You can't look for something that didn't happen yet. You have to say, if you would have realized what was already in play at the time of your neder, would you have taken the neder? That's a valid Pesach. But to start thinking about things that didn't happen at all yet, and that weren't yet in play at the time of the neder, that's not a valid Pesach. Now the Ran, Tosos, and the Rush all point out, yeah, where ein poskim benolad, that's only if it's a nolad that's not so matzui. But if it's a nolad that's very matzui, that's very likely to happen, then we're going to be the chacham are going to be moda that we're poseach benolad, because that would be ala al daito to have said so, to have thought of already. The Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos Perek Vav Halacha Yud Beis, it doesn't make any such distinction between Nolad Matzui and Nolad She'eino Matzui. So let's see how that plays out in the Mishnah now. So says the Mishnah, Ketzad, what's an example of a Pesach ben Nolad? Omar, a guy says, Konam Shani Neneli Ishploni, I'm taking Neder Anah, that I'm not going to get any Anah from this man, Vinasa Sofer. And then that man becomes a Sofer. What is a Sofer? So the Ran understands, and Tosa and the Rosh understand, means a Talmud Chacham, he's a Posek. And now you need to ask him Shailas, so you need his Hora'ah. So he didn't know that he was going to become a Talmud Chacham. He wasn't even someone who was serious about learning at the time that he took the Neder. He only became a Talmud Chacham later on. Tosos and the Mefarish say another possibility of Sofer is that he's a Sofer, that he's the scribe. He writes all the shtaros, and he's the one in the city that does that. So it must be that they already had a different Sofer in the city, so it's not so shchiach that the original Sofer that they had would be fired or would die and that someone else would take his place. So that's why it's considered to be a nolad that you would not have thought of, especially if you go with those Rishonim, that a nolad needs to be something that is not matzui. But if it's matzui, it doesn't count as a nolad. Again, the Rambam disagrees. Rambam thinks that we don't distinguish between a nolad and matzui and nolad she'enu matzui. The Beis Yosef says that this might be the answer to the kash of Tosos Maseches Ksubas Daf Samach Gimel. From our Mishnah, we see that according to the Rabbanan, we're ein poskin benolad. So the Tosos asks that with the story with Rabbi Akiva and Kalba Savua, his father-in-law took a neder that my daughter marries this Isfar, if I don't want her to get any anah from any of my nechasim. And then Rabbi Akiva turns into Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva, so when he comes back, he says, had you known that he would become Talmud Chacham, would you have taken the neder? He said, if I would have known he would know anything, if I would have known he'd read a pasuk in Chumash, I wouldn't have taken the neder. And then he's released to the neder. But why? In poskim benolad. He wasn't yet anything at the time that he took the neder. All of this was a nolad. So the Beis Yosef says that Kalba Savua was coming to be Matir because he was Misnachim on the Etzem HaNeder because he saw that Rabbi Akiva was Ola B'Torah. And when he's actually Mischarit, then we're Poseach Benolad as well. Meaning this is a different, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis that Ein Poskin Benolad is a Klal, but if it's the kind of Nolad that causes an actual Charata, that it's not just it's Ki'ilu Nischarit, that I probably wouldn't have taken the Neder, but you have a real charata, that if it brings real charata, then we are poseach benolad. So Tosfos asks the kasha, isn't Rabbi Akiva becoming Talmud Chacham nolad? So Beis Yosef writes, according to Shitas HaRambam, that real charata would work, even benolad, so then you could assume that that there must have been real charat in that case, which, you know, you sort of hope that that's not the right answer, because Tosfos gives such a geshmaka answer over there. Tosfos asks that kasha of why isn't the Rabbi Akiva story no lev, and Tosfos says when a person commits himself to learn Torah, even the commitment alone, before he learned Aleph, before he learned Kamata Aleph A, if he committed himself to learn Torah, it's the darko bekach that he's going to become a Talmud Chacham. That's not called nolad. That a person who fully commits himself, it's the derech that he's going to become a Talmud Chacham. It's normal, it's ragil that he's going to become a Talmud Chacham, which obviously is more geshmaka answer. Anyway, Oshaya Masias Beno, or a person marries off his daughter, and it used to be that, meaning the person that you took the neder, you're not going to get an anah from, marries off his son, rather, and it used to be that the whole city would come and eat at the Suda. Va'amar, he says, Yilu Yisi Odea Shunasa Sofer, Oshaya Masias Beno, had I known that this guy was going to become a sofer, or that this guy was going to marry off his son, Bekarov, in such, you know, so soon, Lo Yisi Noder, then I would not have taken such a neder. Another example, you say, I take a neder that I'm not going to enter into this house. And then the house becomes a Beis HaKnesses. Amri lo yisi odea shun nasa Beis HaKnesses lo yisi noder. And he says, had I known, I never would have taken the neder had I known it would be a Beis HaKnesses. So in all these cases, Rabbi Eliezer matir v'cham mosr. Rabbi Eliezer says you could be poseach the neder because even though it is nolad, we're poschen b'nolad. And the Chum say, no, you can't be poseach in these things because these are things that are not nolad. Shidum Gvetzis explains, we give these three examples of Sofer, Nesiyah Bino, and Beis HaKnesses because each one is more Shchiach than the other one. So there might be, there's more makom to say each one is not nolad more than the previous one. So we say that they're all considered nolad, meaning you live in a popular Jewish town, every house might become a Beis HaKnesses at some point. That's the way Jews operate. You might think that that's so Shchiach. Nah, not so Shchiach, that it's still considered to be a nolad. So now, says the Gemara, we had said in the Mishnah that this line of im kein ein nidarim, that if you're going to be poseach with kvara makom, then im kein ein nidarim. So my ein nidarim, what does that mean? So two possibilities. Amar Abaye, im kein, if we're going to be poseach for a noder, going with the angle that had you realized you'd be mema'it kvoda makom, the cover of the Ribbono Shel Olam, ein nedarim nitar in yafe, then no neder is going to be nitar properly because there's not really going to be a charata, because if the guy was noder, even realizing the bizayon it causes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's still not going to be meiz panav to say that he would be mekel in the cover of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everyone's going to lie when Bezin calls him out on the carpet and says, would you have taken the neder realizing it's such a bizayon to Hashem? He's going to lie. So the nedarim are all going to, we're going to be matzah these nedarim without a real charata because they're going to lie about the charata. Rava Amar Rava says im kein ein nedarim nishal l'chacham. No, if you could be posech b'kvar ha-makom, no one's even going to bother to go to the chacham to be matzah the neder because they're going to realize that it's so easy to find the pesach. You could just say kvar ha-makom for every single neder. So a guy's going to think to himself, so why bother going to the chacham? I know exactly what they're going to ask me. What they ask everybody: would you have taken this neder? And you realize it would be b'zayin to the Ribbono. So no one's going to see any need to even go to the Beis Din in the first place. The tour quotes the din of our Mishnah, but he explains like Abaye and not like Rava. So the Beis Yosef on the spot says, yeah, you're like we said before from Tos Yamtiv, you're allowed to explain like Abaye and not like Rava, even though the halacha is always like Rava, because this isn't a matter of halacha. This is a matter of explanation. However, the Chasam Sofer says that there is an afkamina between Shitas Abaye and Shitas Rava. If the noder comes on his own and he's poseach with kvoda makom, according to Abaye, we could be mekel on that, because it's not a matter of having chutzpah and being embarrassed. And you know, they're asking me if I would have been mechabed the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, you know, how can I say no? But he's volunteering. He could have kept quiet. He's volunteering. So according to Abaye, we could be mekel, whereas according to Rava, we can't be mekel. So if there is enough nafkamina between Abaye and Rava, now we have a lot of kashas. Why does the Torah explain like Abaye Abaye? Why does the Bar Tanur explain like Abaye? Why does the Ran and the Mishnah explain like Abaye? So it's more likely is that they held that there's no nafkamina between Abaye and Rava, and that it's just a matter of explanation. Okay, Tanan, it said in our Mishnah, that if it's a matter between parents and the child, then the Chacham Marmoda, that you could be poseach b'kvod of the imo, shposnal b'kvod of the imo. So Bishlam l'Abaye da'amar im kenin dar mitarn yotha. I understand, according to Abaye, that we're not poseach b'kvod of makom, and who adin, we're not poseach b'kvod his parents, because ein nedar mitarn yotha, there's not going to be a proper charata, because no one's going to have the ha'oza, no one's going to have the chutzpah to say that I don't care about my parents' covenant, and I never did care about my parents' covenant. Because then it makes sense that when it comes to a neder about his parents, we could be poseach with that. Because clearly he actually doesn't. Meaning he's not afraid to say when he doesn't care about the covenant of his parents, because he went ahead and he took a neder against his parents. So I'm not concerned about this guy lying to save face and say, oh, I wouldn't have been mevaza my parents. Of course he realized that he would have been mevaza el Rava da Amar, but according to Rava, that the reason we're not posech b'kvod ha-makom and b'kvod ha-rav is because im kein en dar neshal l'chacham, that everyone's just going to do it on their own, no one's going to go to a chacham, hacham ay poschen. So why does it matter when the neder is between the parents and child? Why are the chacham moda that in such a case you can be posech b'kvod ha-rav? Shouldn't we have to be choshesh that when he sees that you're posech b'kvod ha-rav, he's just going to say, oh, that's easy, I can just always do that with every neder I have. So Amri, they're going to answer, Kivan de kol nidre losagid lahan de lav chacham, since by all other nedarim that do not relate to your parents, you can't get rid of the neder without a chacham, so hachanami, so by a matter relating to your parents, since it's you're already in the habit with your other nedarim to go to a chacham, well, you'll go to a chacham with these nedarim as well. We're not going to poskin, and therefore we could be poseach, we don't have to worry that you're going to stop going to a chacham, just be poseach on your own. If every other neder doesn't involve your parents, you know you have to go to a chacham, you'll go to a chacham with this neder as well. And then we go into the discussion of nolad. Va'olam Rav Elazar poskin b'nolad, and the chacham said, no, we cannot be poseach b'nolad, because their explanation is because the noder thought that it's never going to happen, and even if he would have thought about it at the time, it wouldn't have prevented him from taking the neder, so it's not a real proper Pesach. So my time is Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer think that we can be Poseach B'nolad? Misvara, the Chamer, so correct. No, it's something that didn't exist yet. Why would that affect the neder retroactively? So Amar Rav Chista, Rabbi Eliezer is based on a limud from a Pasuk, that Da'amar Kra, the Pasuk said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu in Midian that he's got to go back to Mitzrayim. Why? Ki mesu kol ha'anashim ha'mevakshim es nafshecha, that the people who wanted to kill you are dead. Why does he have to give him a reason? Ki mesu kol ha'anashim. It must be because Moshe Rabbeinu took a shavua to remain with Yisro in Midian, and he was afraid to return to Mitzrayim because there were people that wanted him dead in Mitzrayim. So when Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go back to Mitzrayim, he finds a Pesach for the neder, and he says ki mesu kol ha'anashim. Had you known at the time of your neder that these people were going to die so soon, then would you have taken the neder? Moshe Rabbeinu says no, so good, so now you can go back. So Rabbi Elazar says, but they weren't dead at the time that he took the neder. So Vamisa didnolad hu. So Mikan Shaposchem didnolad. So you see that you keep your Poseach binolad. This was something that had not yet occurred. V'Rabbanan maitamayu. And what's the basis of the Rabbanan? Is it's a pasuk that you could be Poseach binolad. No, Kasabri, the Rabbanan hold that is no raya from the pasuk, because kimesu kol anashim doesn't mean that they subsequently died, but rather hanu mi maisi. Is that even true that they died? They weren't dead. Vam Rabbi Yochum, because we know who these people were. Vam Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai kol makom shenamar nitzim v'nitzavim. Anytime the Torah uses the lashon of nitzim or nitzavim, ein el dasan vaviram. We know who it is. It's always referring to dasan vaviram. Vaviram. The pasuk says vayitze biyamasheni v'inei shnei anashim ivrim nitzim vayomer. The people Moshe Rabbeinu were afraid of were these nitzim, were Dustin and Aviram, and Vayivakesh Larugis Moshe. They wanted to kill Moshe. So we know who the people were. So how could Hashem say to Moshe, don't worry, Kimesu kol anashim vaksavesh nafshecha? Dustin and Aviram were still alive until Adas Korach, and only then were they swallowed up in the ground. So it must be that they weren't actually dead. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean? It means that they lost all their money, and therefore they're chashuvim kemes, because an ani is chashuv kemes. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him was that don't worry, they're aniim, and therefore they can't be a threat to you anymore, because they lost all their power. Rich people are powerful people. Aniim aren't powerful people. No one's going to listen to them. So even though they only became poor after the Shavua, that doesn't have a din of nolad, because that's very matzvi. That's how the Ran explains. People become poor all the time. So since it's very matzvi, that's not a din of nolad. It's a big question in the Rishonim. And people don't die all the time? People, you know, why would that be nolad? But I would argue people die more frequently than people become poor, because not everybody becomes poor, but everybody dies, right? So how do you say that? So that's a big discussion in the Rishonim Achronim over here. Why the Gemara is assuming becoming poor is something that's not called nolad because it's so matzui, but dying is called nolad because it's not matzui. Amir Shmuel ben Levi, Kol Adam, once we're on the topic of people who are considered like they're dead, even though they're still alive, Kol Adam Shein Lo Banim Chashuv Kemes, someone who doesn't have children is considered like a mace. Shenemar, because the pasuk says that Rachel says to Yaakov, Havali Banim V'Mayin Mesa Anochi, that if I don't have children, then Mesa Anochi. V'Tanya, and Bryce tells us, Arba Chashuv Kemes, there are four categories of people that are considered like they're dead. Ani, Umitzora, V'Suma, Umishein Lo Banim, a poor person, a mitzora, a blind person, and someone who doesn't have children, and we could prove each one. Ani d'chsev ki mesu kalanash, and that's the pasuk we just said, that Dasan Aviram must have become poor. The Rishonim work on how we know that Dasan Aviram didn't become mitzoraim. How do we know Dasan Aviram didn't become blind? But whatever, the assumption is they became poor. Mitzora d'chsev, by mitzora it says that Aaron says to Moshe at the time that Miriam got tzaras, al nasi kemes, that the mitzora, you see the mitzora is like a mace. V'suma d'chsev, a blind person, because it says b'machshakim Shiveni, that Yirmiyahu HaNavi gave a mashal to himself after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, like someone who's sitting in the darkness and is not able to see, and he says, Kimeisei Olam, like blind people who never see. So he considers Suma like Meisei Olam. Umishein Lo Banim, and someone who doesn't have any children, Dechsiv Havali Banim Vim Ayin Mesa Anochi. So like Rabbi Shimon Levi already darshan, so you see that these are the four people that are Chashuvim Kimeis. But tomorrow we'll pick up Samachem Aleph at the top of the page.